Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Good morning to you, John, and I hope you're keeping well. We were talking yesterday and you were saying you're trying to find some, I suppose, some bright spots in the news, which has been rather quite grim of late.
It is, yeah. It's hugely gloomy, but I mean, here we are. Tis Friday. Tis a holiday weekend. The weather is a bit ropey. I was looking at the forecast for Killarney. I know Killarney isn't the entirety of Kerry. It's a mixed bag, but it mightn't be that awful. Let's try and be happy about it. It's the 1st of May. It's the first day of our seasonal, you know, or whatever word.
Traditional
summer,
for summer,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, yeah. So.
And just looking here, there are a number of things. There's been a 33% rise in the number of homes being built in the first 3 months this year compared to the previous year. And indeed, in Cork and Kerry, there's been a 54% rise in the number of homes being built in the first 3 months of 2026 compared to the same time last year. Now, those 7,000, almost 8,000 houses, new homes being built in the first 3 months. Yeah. It's not going to. Many more homes still need to be built to avert the housing crisis that we're in. But I suppose it's a positive trend.
It is a positive. Let's try to stay positive. But yeah, I mean, a couple of things. I'm reminded of the old barroom joke. I see light at the end of the tunnel, but I hope it's not an express train coming to mow me down. The other one is friends when they're over from, you know, when they're visiting Ireland, say, how can there be a housing crisis? Everywhere I go is a building site. And I'm sure you would say the same about Kerry. We are building houses. We're just not building enough and quickly enough. But the government overall in the longer term wants to get up to 50,000 a year. As you can see, if you were to take that as a quarterly figure, we could be in the mid-30s. Even a bit of ramping up towards the end of the year, maybe we'd get up, you know, closer to the 40. But we're off the pace of where we need to be. But there are positives there, definitely.
Now, we still live in the shadow of the US-Israel-Iran war and how that has affected prices of fuel, prices of energy, prices of electricity.
Yeah, absolutely. And excuse me. And this week, moving on from the terrible fuel blockades and road blockages and all of that that we had the government delivering on their promise for an aid package. This mainly targeted at farmers, hauliers, agricultural contractors and so on. This tranche of 220 million of what will be $750 million all in all. So construction people also being included in the aid scheme and others like quarry people, all those which are heavy diesel use sectors, which are heavy diesel users, will be getting it. Is it enough? Is it ever enough? God knows. But it's a start. And the government is talking about eventually more to come. I think all the signs are from the Middle East that the prices at the pump are going to creep back up again. And we're going back around the merry-go-round again.
And the Labour Party, though, has commented and said, what's there for the PAYE worker?
Yes, absolutely. And the unions using today, which is May Day, also being International Workers' Day, saying, look, we're fight and talk. We need inflation busting pay rises. That's an interesting phrase in itself. But if we don't get them at the negotiating table, we're going to have to get them at the picket line. So signs of a certain militancy creeping in there, particularly among lower paid workers who are unionised. The difficulty, of course, of saying inflation busting pay rises is that that's not the way the economy works. Sadly, we go back to the late 70s and early 80s when we had you know, pay rises chasing double-digit inflation and making everything worse. And here we go around the merry-go-round. And eventually, there was no point in talking about a pay rise unless it was of the order of 20%. And, you know, things just spiral out of control. So, yeah, we continue to be on a dangerous corner.
And the opposition's keeping up the pressure. I suppose it was one of the most memorable exchanges in the Dáil this week. Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald, her Father Ted moment, you could say, claiming that the government is doing sweet feck all for people in terms of the response to the energy crisis.
Yes, absolutely. And interesting this, because Sinn Féin have gone back to kind of core principles, and they just keep hammering cost of living. They're hoping this will build their fortunes. There's huge discontent with government, and we saw the Business Post poll last Sunday showing Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil at an all-time low in the mid-teens. Now, Sinn Féin are the largest party support-wise, according to opinion polls. Start of the month, the Sunday Independent, Ireland Thinks, had them on 22%. This Business Post poll had them on 25%. Now, they're not always, you know, entirely comparable, but they had a reasonably good Ardesh, but there is a sort of feeling of unease in the Sinn Féin ranks. Piers Doherty demanding a mini-budget now, immediately, with Taoiseach saying, no, really, that's unrealistic. And again, falling back on, look, we cannot, euro for euro, compensate everyone for their losses arising from the Iran debacle. And also arguing that Sinn Féin rarely mention Donald Trump, Strait of Hormuz, all the rest of that, that they basically try to lay it all at government's door. It's not of Ireland's making. And the same problems are reflected all over mainland Europe and the rest of the world generally. Everybody is being hit by this. So we are in a situation where I think Sinn Féin really hope that they can tap in to discontent with government. But a danger here that we may squander what temporary largesse we have. And not squander,
spend. The over 9 billion euro.
Yeah, the basically what amounts to the corporate tax dividend, the thing we were talking about last year. But bearing in mind, the government always argues, look, we're putting together two emergency funds. Difficulty there is that for every euro that goes in to these emergency funds, 5 goes on immediate spending. And these packages, hardship packages, such as the one we were talking about right at the start, are eroding, you know, what the government would ideally need to put into reserve.
John, we'll be back to you. And when we come back, we have to talk about the situation where it costs more to buy Kerry gold in Kerry than it is in Berlin.
Kerry Today on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with KWD Recycling, collecting waste and recycling at your door.
Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
And of course, the rhetoric is being ratcheted up because of the by-elections that will be coming up in Dublin and Galway on May 22nd. But we'll move on from that for the moment there, John. We'll come to this story, and it was referenced in our news this morning by Amber Galway about the price of Kerrygold.
Absolutely. Kerrygold, manufactured by Ornua, one of the country's leading co-ops. It turns out, a story on the front page of the Irish Times this morning, when you add it all up and add it all down, different denominations, it works out in Germany at the moment, in Berlin, you can buy a kilo of Kerry. You could buy a kilo of Kerrygold for 7.96, let's say almost €8. And in Ireland at the moment, it would be in or around €13.17. So a considerable differential. How does that come about? Well, the Irish Times asked the Irish Creamery Milk Suppliers Association, their president, Dennis Drennan, says, look, we milk the cows. We have no say in manufacture, distribution or pricing of dairy products. So they ask Ornua, and Ornua say, look, it's actually up to the retailers, and this is Lidl. And you drill down into it and you see, well, actually, it seems to be a kind of Lidl lost leader at the moment, trying to get people into the shops, the German, canny German shoppers. So apparently Lidl will be reverting to a higher price next week, maybe or maybe not, because this is generating such hullabaloo. In fairness to Ornua, I was looking at their website just before you called up there, and I see that there are basically about 3,500 jobs in Ireland. I do take my hat off to their marketing and their distribution, their branding, how they established this across mainland Europe. I long ago, in the late 80s, earlier, going in and out of German, French, Dutch supermarkets, and few, if any, Irish products to be seen. And now Kerrygold products are ubiquitous. But, I mean, it is pretty galling to say that you can buy a pound of a pack of Kerrygold in Berlin vastly cheaper than you could do in Blenerville or wherever, you know, this morning.
Yeah, it's an amazing story, an absolutely amazing story. And it really captured everybody's attention this morning. Can we move on, though, John? And unfortunately, God, we never have enough time with you. We never have enough time with you. I suppose the gobsmacking, it is gobsmacking at this stage, the details of the children's hospital saga and other tales of public, the waste of public money.
Yeah, the development board of the Children's Hospital, and I actually, a year ago, I was among a group of people invited in to see it. It will be very impressive eventually, but and there are some reasons which mitigate the extraordinary delays and cost overrun. I stress the word mitigate. I'm not for a second trying to apologise for this very sorry scenario. Ideally, we understood that by now, children in the children's hospital, that they would have been there more or less 4 years ago, summer of 2022. There have been 20 plus delays. This was first talked about as a project which was going to cost of the order of €600 million. The meter is now running at 2.2 billion. But that's not really where costings are at. And we don't really know, because years from now, there'd probably still be high court actions washing through the system. We have reached a point where we have no date. We have a war of bitter words between the builders, who are BAM, and the development board. BAM say, look, it's down to the development board landing on with late changes which completely upended our calculations, our timetables. We have no date for completion. To finish the building, after it's finished, the board has to go in, it has to be kitted out, it has to be cleaned, it has to be this, that and the other. Then there is the question of transferring existing patients who may be in Temple Street in Dublin, the Children's Hospital, or the big Children's Hospital in Crumlin, which sadly many of your listeners will be familiar with, sadly. But are happily, hopefully. But the transfer is a very difficult thing. It really best avoided in the winter because of the dangers of infections, because that is flu season and all of the other winter maladies that, you know, that hospitals across the world will battle against in winter. So it's a pretty sorry saga. It's hard to find positives in this one anywhere.
And again, that's something, it's bad timing for the government as we have the by-elections coming up for Dublin Central and Galway West on May 22nd. Perceived government wastage, that really lingers in the mind with voters.
It does, yeah. I mean, look, you know, it's hard, particularly for lower paid and middle income people. And if they're probably better avoiding their pay slips. But when they do, they see there's a hefty whack of tax going out of it. And then you find tales of taxpayers' money being nobody's money, being thrown around with gay abandon. And that's not encouraging. And it will probably motivate Dublin Central, Galway West voters. By the way, I mean, a lot of people saying in Kerry would say, well, I don't live in Dublin Central and I don't live in Galway West, so what's this got to do with me? I think it's very interesting that we have two contrasting constituencies here and two which, if you kind of look at them, you know, they go urban, suburban, and in mm-hmm. the case of Galway West, a great similarity with Kerry because yeah. you also have rural, you have coastal communities, and you know, it is a snapshot of Ireland's mood right now, or it will represent. And this day, 3 weeks, they'll be going to the polls.
Yes.
Tomorrow, 3 weeks, we'll have the results. And I think it's a firefighting issue for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael at this point.
We'll discuss further. John, enjoy the bank holiday weekend. We've been talking to John Downing with this week's Call from the Dáil.